Parshas Mishpatim follows right after Matan Torah. And instead of going into the big narrative and details of what happened after Matan Torah, the Jewish people start, they roll up their sleeves and they start learning Torah. That's really what Parshas Mishpatim is, getting to the nitty-gritty, the Neid Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvos, which is really an extension of Matan Torah. Today's learning is sponsored by Barbie and Centovio to commemorate the Shloshim of Barbie's mother, Yitzel Bas Yekusiel, and sponsored by Golda and Michael Breband to commemorate the yahrzeit of Golda's uncle, Isaac Ben Zev Wolf. Our learning today should serve as an eloy for the Neshamos, began Eden Shalmala. So what's the first mitzvah that Mishpatim talks about on the heels of Matan Torah? The first mitzvah, or first concept, is an Eved Ivri. The Torah says, Ve'ele Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem, which that we could talk about for hours. These are the mishpatim that you place before you. Ki tikna eved ivri. What's the first mishpat that the Jewish people learned together? Ki tikna eved ivri sheish shanim yavod uvashvi is yetzei lechov shichinam. When you acquire for yourself an eved ivri, what's an eved ivri?
Jewish slave.
A Jewish slave. He shall work for 6 years, and on the seventh, he will, or she will, that's an Abba Ivriya, but same idea, will go free. If he comes in single, he leaves single. But when he's married, when he is an Eved Ivri, the master can appoint a Meshifra Kananis, and they can get married, and they can have children, and the master can have more servants working for him. The Torah says, Vim Omar Yomar Ha'eved Ahavti Es Ishti. If after 6 years, the servant says, I love this life, this is amazing, I love serving a master, this is the way I always depicted my life, this is easy, I love it. Ahavti es Adoni, es Ishti, es Banai, I love the wife that you appointed to me and the children, I don't want to go free. What does he do? Yes.
Is this the first because of Adam Hayinu?
Oh, very good, the Ramban says that. The Ramban says this is the first mitzvah given to us, because we should be sensitive and be thoughtful and, think about the Eved, because we were of Adam. The Ramban says that on Pasuk Beis. So what happens if the person says, I want to be a slave forever? What do? We bring them to Beis Din. We stand them by the door opening, by the side of the mezuzah, and we pierce their ear, vavado lo'olam, and they become an Eved forever. So I want to focus now on two questions. Question number one is, if I had to, right, we didn't write the Torah, but if you had to write an Eved, a Jewish slave, what would you write? How would you write that in Hebrew? An Eved Yisrael. Why does the Torah call a Jewish slave an Eved Ivri? Question number one. Question number two, if we have time, is, why doesn't his ear get pierced right away? His ear gets pierced, Rashi says, is because the same ear that just heard Lo Tignov, do not steal, and the Aseres HaDibros, now look what he did. He stole and he became a slave. He didn't listen. So why do we wait till year 6, the beginning of year 7, to do that? Why not pierce their ear much earlier, right when they commit the crime? What?
So was you acquired?
Right.
Assumption is that he stole something. I mean, maybe just he was just very poor and he sold himself into slavery.
Right, but the way the Gemara presents it is that the person became a slave because of theft. Yes.
Prior to this, like on your first question, where does the Torah use the word ivri?
Amazing.
Or does it?
Amazing. So let's go. Where does it? I don't know. I'll ask you. Where does the word Torah use the word ivri? Avram ivri. Right? He's called an Ivri. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes to Paro, he tells Paro, we need to leave because Elokei HaIvrim Nikra Eilenu. The God of the Ivrim came to us. And one more time is by Potiphar. Potiphar refers to Yosef as an Ivri. So I have three interpretations that I think I found the fourth, but the three basic interpretations to why Eved Ivri. The first comes from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky passed away in 1986. One of the Gedolim of the previous generation was Rosh Yeshivat Tor V'Das. His children are still spreading Torah throughout throughout America. And he writes, what's an Ivri? An Ivri, by definition, is somebody that has no affiliation with a country, with a land, with a homeland, with a home. They don't have that. That's why Avraham is called Avraham Ivri, because he left his home, and the people of the time were saying, you have no place. You have no place here. Oh, he was promised Israel. They were still, they denied that today. They're denying that back then. Right? Ivri, it refers to somebody that doesn't have a homeland. Yosef, Potiphar calls him Ivri. Why? Yosef left his home. Where was he from? Elokei HaEvrim Nikra Eleinu, the God of the Hebrews, that's what they were always called. So Ryaku Kamenetsky points out that it's only befitting that an Eved, a slave who sold themselves into slavery because they couldn't pay back for the theft that they stole, why is he called an Ivri? He no longer has a home. Unfortunately, the person has reached the point where he doesn't have his own property. So he's called an Ivri out of circumstance. That's the definition. It's not necessarily a Jewish word, per se, according to Rav Yaakov. It's anyone is called an Ivri if they don't have their own home. They don't have an address. They don't have a place to go back to. If a nation doesn't have a homeland, they are called Ivri. Okay, that is answer number one.
So it's saying by definition, the Ivri has no country, no place to live from. Or the reality was that the Ivrim had no country, and they're deducing that from the reality.
No, that's what the word Ivri means. Shem and Aver had a yeshiva, Shem and Aver, and he goes into that. That's what Aver was. Aver didn't have a place to go. Answer number two comes from Rabbeinu Bechaya. This is a question. The question that we're asking is not a question that just Rabbi Yaakov again lived in the 20th century. Rabbeinu Bechaya is one of the Rishonim. Right. So this question of why is the Eved called an Eved Ivri, not Eved Yisrael, is an old question. Right? It's not. So what does he say? Why is an Eved called an Eved Ivri and not an Eved Yisrael? An Ivri is a lower status of the Jewish people. The Jewish people achieve the status of Yisrael.
Welcome back, Rabbi.
Shalom, shalom. It's good to see you. How am I? I'm a little boy in a toy store.
Welcome back.
Okay. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, what's an Ivri? An Ivri is a Jewish people. When they left Egypt, they no longer were considered Ivrim. Now what were they? They were Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael represents the lofty nature of the Jewish people. To be a free people is to be called Yisrael. An Ivri is a derogatory term. It was used as a derogatory term. It was a lower level, lower status of the Jewish people. Elokei HaEvrim Nikra Eleinu. As slaves, you're called Ivri. You're not defined by where you are. You're defined by where you're not. We're over there, right? We're there. We're not here, right? So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, that's why the Ivri, he's called an Ivri, because now he's acting like a slave. To go steal, right, you're not someone who gets to the point, who has to steal to put food on the table, is not in control of what they do and who they are. So that's really what an Eved is. What was the first mitzvah the Jewish people got in Egypt? HaChodesh Zelachem. What's that first mitzvah? That first mitzvah is time belongs to you. The difference between a free person and a slave is time. An Eved, the time does not belong to them. It belongs to the master. The master dictates where they go. A free person has all the time to do whatever they want. But if a free person takes their time and uses it for negative things, they're really just a slave, masked as a free person. So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, this is a profound idea, that an Eved Ivri, he loses his status as a free person. He's no longer, he doesn't deserve the title Yisrael anymore. And that's why, where do they bring him after? He says, Ahavtis Adoni ves Ishti ves Banai, I love this life. Where do they bring him? To the doorpost by the mezuzah. Why there? That's how the Jewish people left Egypt. They put the blood on the door and on the mezuzahs, on the mashkof, and that's how they left Egypt. We're reminding you, you could be there, but you're choosing not to be. You're choosing not to be. You're losing that status. And that's when the Siva Shalom writes, if you look at, turn the page for a second.
One question for Rabbi. Doesn't Ivri means Hebrew in some sense?
It means Hebrew because that's what they call the Jewish people.
So it's not about us as the Hebrews?
Yeah. That's the third interpretation. We'll get to there in a minute, okay?
Rabbi,
yes.
Just one thing, because this came into my mind. You said before the first time that we basically used the word Ivri was with Abraham.
Yeah.
What's Abraham, his main thing that he's known for, being an Eved Ivri really is a reclamation project that the person is doing by paying out the money that he owes
right.
and bringing this person into his house. I would say that's the ultimate act of Chesed.
By bringing this person into a home.
Into a home, because he's bailing him out.
Uh-huh.
He's providing for him. It's not like... It's not a negative thing. It's an act of chesed,
right.
which mostly points back to Abraham as being the first Eved Ivri.
Very good.
I mean, the first
right.
Ivri.
Right. Very good. So the Nesiva Shalom says it very clearly here. He says, "Eved Ivri hu Yehudi, shenafa mimadregaso." He's a Jew that fell from his or her status, and that's why they're no longer called a Yehudi. The Jewish people became free. Now they're Yisrael. This person reverts back to their old status, and it's really what a slave is. A slave is not in control of their time. A person who could be free, and we know people like this, they can do whatever they want with all of the money and all the wealth that they have, but if they're not in control, right? There's so many people that they're a slave to their desires. Rabelsky writes that very nicely here. Rabelsky has a beautiful svarim on Chumash that I've recently come out after he passed away. They're called Eini Yisrael, and there he writes, person could be so wealthy, so well-to-do, well-off, can buy anything in the world, but some people who do that are just a slave to their desires. They could be completely free on the outside, but internally, they're not at all. And that reminds us of what an Ivri versus a Yisrael really is. That is the second interpretation, and the Shemi Shmuel, I think, gets onto what Mendy and Jay, you were saying. The Shemi Shmuel, the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe, writes something very beautiful. He quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer, and he quotes a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. Sefer Yehoshua, the Perek of Dal, the 24 prakim of Sefer Yehoshua. In the last parak, Yehoshua is in Shechem. Why is Yehoshua in Shechem? Because they're burying Yosef. At the end of the conquering of all of Eretz Israel, they finally bury Yosef. Yosef's bones were carried to the Jewish people for 40 years in the Midbar. And listen to what he says. Look at source 5, Pasuk Beis. Bar Yomer Yehoshua al Kol Ha'am. Yehoshua tells the entire nation, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is what Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, said. Be'ever Hanahar Yashvu Avosecha Me'olam. On the other side of the river, your forefathers lived Me'olam, which means from forever. What does from forever mean? Such a strange... They lived there forever. For the first time in forever? Frozen. Okay, David, very good. Bekias, very good. Terech Avi Abraham, Vavi Nachor, Ravidu Elohim, Achirim. So what does Me'olam mean? So here probably means, literally, they've been there forever. They served, you know, Hashem, even from the other side of the river. Now we're in Eretz Israel, on the other side of the Jordan. That could be one interpretation. The Shem Yishmuel says something else, quoting his father. Eva Hanar Me'olam, the Jewish people are always going to live on the other side of the river. What does that mean? Avram is called Avram Ivri. Why? He was an iconoclast. He was countercultural. He went against everything that was in the world. The whole world, he wasn't subsumed by the culture and the times that people were in. Avraham was always called an Avram Ivri. We view it as a positive appellation to Avram and the Jewish people. We're called Ivri because we stand up for what is right, and we don't follow the terms of the day and what's going on today. We follow the Torah. That's an Ivri. And Yehoshua is telling the Jewish people that that is what we're going to have forever. That's our mission in life, is to follow the Torah and to educate the rest of the world. And how does that tie into here? So if you read, it's in English too right here. The Avnei Nezer points out, according to the Medrash, the name Ivri was first used for Avraham. Signifies independent-mindedness. It's over here. It's on the bottom of the page. Ivri means aside. Ivri implies that Avraham and his descendants after him were prepared to stand on one side, even if the entire world were to be aligned against them on the other side. This, observes the Avnei Nezer, is true freedom. The ability to resist the coercion of other people's opinions and influence and stand for what one believes to be the truth. So what are we telling the slave? We're telling the slave, you've fallen on hard times. You've had a very difficult, you know, bunch of years. But you are an Ivri. Stand up. Be strong. Be proud of where you came from. You have it inside of you. You have the capacity to still be an Ivri. Let these years pass. Do it with dignity and make yourself and make the people around you proud. But know that inside, he writes, the Shem Yishmael writes this, Bipnimius, you are someone very special and very holy. And you have the ability to leave. That's why part of the mitzvah of Eved Ivri, Sheshanim Yavod, but you're going to leave on the seventh year. You have that capacity within you. A Jewish neshama, you had the capacity to overcome where you are right now.
Maybe that's why he has the capacity, he's still after 6 years.
Oh, so very good. Right.
Then you got to do something.
Right.
Because he didn't do it.
So the Sfas Emes says that. We gave you an out. You choose. It's not about the stealing. Some people, we can't judge where they are. But after 6 years, now you want this, we have to make a mark on your body. We have to slap it out of you if we could, because this is not who you are in essence. Sure, the Torah gives a construct of it, but it's not who we are in essence. Where Itamar Schwartz in Bilvavi Mishkan Evne says this is not only true about the Eved Ivri. Yes.
Who is the Avnei Nezer?
The Shem Yishmael's father.
So he's
Rav Chaim of San, the Avnei Nezer, I forgot his first name. I don't think it sounds a rabbi.
What's his last name? Rabbi?
Borenstein. Avraham Borenstein.
What about the other type of Borenstein?
What?
We have two types of Avadim. What about the second type?
Eved Kanani?
No, there's one who's poor and sold, not necessarily stole.
So the first 6 years is one thing. After that, we hope that he's rehabilitated and that he has the... Yeah. Yeah, the goal of the Eved, Rav Hirsch points this out, is not only just to give them a place and he has a servant master, but to make connections for him. Maybe he's going to now work for, if this guy's really wealthy, maybe he has friends and people see him and see how hard of a worker he is, and maybe he can get a job. He's exactly networking. That's really part of what the goal of this mitzvah is. It's not about slavery per se. In this time, I'll just parenthetically, in the times of the Civil War, there's a big machlokas from two of Reform rabbis as to whether Jewish people believed in the slavery of what was going on in America at the time. One rabbi said, slavery's in the Torah. Of course we believe in slavery. Someone said, I think the answer that we're going along with is not no. Slavery that was going on in America is horrible. That was horrific. That's not the slavery in the Torah. There's so many laws that limit the amount of, you can't give that slave any degrading work. You can't do any. It's a very different, concept. The Bavavi Mishkan Evne points out here that Sheshanim Yavod Vashvis Yetzel Chov Shechinam is a reference not only to the Eved Ivri, but to the Jewish people on two levels. Level number one, nationally, the world is going to be for 6,000 years. After 6,000 years, Yemos HaMashiach. So this is a reference to that we could see the news, what's going on in the world with Israel, BDS, Zionism, anti-Zionism, we can see all of it happening. Sheshanim Yavod, we're going to be subjugated by the foreign nations for 6 years, 6,000 millennia. Ubashviyas Yetzir Chov Shechinam, there's going to be a time, please God, very soon, where that's all going to change. But it's also true on a weekly basis. Sheshanim Yavod, and the seventh day, Yetzir Chov Shechinam, a reference to Shabbos. We could be busy and running like crazy the entire week. But we should know, an Eved Ivri, we have the capacity to be greater. Sometimes during the week you have tunnel vision. You can't see beyond, you know, what's in front of you. We're just running from one thing to the next. Baruch Hashem, we have the ability, we have time to learn, right? But Shabbos is that for every single person. Shabbos gives us harchavas and nefesh, menuchas and nefesh, the ability to think, to sit, and to recognize and to appreciate all that we've been given. That's like the construct in everything. Shemitah, 6 and 7. Shabbos is 6 and 7. That's the concept, that's the Torah's formula for a complete cycle.
Well, you have the creation in 6 days, I think.
Right.
But anyway, if you have two things, prison reform or Eved reform, there's no question, hands down.
Well,
prison reform does not work.
Right, yeah.
But yet Eved reform seems to work out.
Jail is really called a penitentiary from the word penitence, from the word tshuva. So that's really where it comes from. The ideal is to create that. Obviously,
right.
It does not work. It's not.
It doesn't work at all.
It's a failed system. It needs more help. So just to review, we had three. We're not going to get to it today. You can read it on your own. So we asked a basic question. We didn't get to the second question. We asked the basic question: why is the Eved Ivri called an Eved Ivri and not Eved Yisrael? Three interpretations. Number one, Emes Liakov. It's a linguistic idea. An Ivri refers to somebody who doesn't have a house or home, doesn't have a homeland. Avram's called an Ivri. Yosef is called an Ivri. And so was this Eved Ivri, because he no longer has a house. Rebbe Bechaya says we got knocked down on our level from Yisrael, a free people. And this person's not acting free anymore. They're acting like an Eved, like the Jewish people in Egypt. We're bringing them back to those times. And that's why we're referencing Ivri. And then we had the idea of the Shem Yishmol, the Avnei Nezer, in the Pasuk in Yehoshua, we're an Ivri Le'olam, or Me'olam, forever, that we all have the capacity, regardless of what is going on right now, we have the capacity to change and to become greater, and that Sheshanim Yavod, a part of the mitzvah is, Uvashvi, Yetzidachov Shechinam, we're always a Jew, always has the capacity to go out of and overcome his surroundings and the things that happen around him. Wish everyone a wonderful